Lesson 9, Isaiah. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should, number 1, recognize the nature of biblical prophecy. Number 2, know the likely date and historical setting of Isaiah. Number 3, be able to outline the primary themes and purposes of Isaiah. Number 4, appreciate the messianic promises of Isaiah. Number 5, understand the arguments for a single author for the book of Isaiah. Number 6, relate the message of Isaiah to the needs of today's world. Introduction to the prophetic books. The Old Testament prophetic books include the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, as well as the 12 minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Before studying the individual books, it is helpful to study the role of the prophet in Old Testament Israel. The writing prophets ministered from roughly 800 BC through 450 BC. Earlier prophets, such as Elijah and Elisha, did not leave a written record of their preaching. The 16 writing prophets are remembered by the books bearing their names. The Hebrew Bible used 3 words to refer to a prophet. These titles show the role of the prophet in Israel. The first 2 words, Hoseh and Roeh, come from a root that means to see. These words tell us that a prophet was someone who saw the things of God. The third word, Nabi, means a called one. It refers to a person who has been called by God to bring God's message to other people. The prophetic books show several characteristics of the prophets. Number 1, the prophets did not speak their own message, they brought God's message. Over 350 times, the prophetic books include the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." The prophets were called to bring God's word to God's people. Number 2, the prophets spoke God's message to their own generation. Their message was given first to their own people. When we read the prophets, we should ask, how did the prophet's immediate audience understand his message? Knowing how the first audience understood the prophet's message helps us better understand his message for today. Number 3, the prophets spoke God's message to future generations. The prophets saw the things of God. The first words of the book of Isaiah are similar to many of the prophets, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, Isaiah 1:1. Through visions and special revelation, God revealed future truths to his prophets. The prophets saw both future judgment and future restoration. As we study the prophetic books, we will see certain themes repeated frequently. 3 themes appear throughout these books. Faithfulness to the covenant. Repeatedly, the prophets reminded their audience that Israel was called to be God's chosen people. At Sinai, Israel made a covenant with God. This covenant was more than rituals and sacrifices. It required personal holiness before God and justice towards other people. Prophets such as Micah and Amos confronted Israel with the nation's failure to live in obedience to the covenant. The Day of the Lord. The prophets referred to the Day of the Lord nearly 20 times. The prophets show 3 aspects of the Day of the Lord. It will be a time of judgment on unbelievers, cleansing of God's people, salvation for those who are faithful. The coming of the Messiah. An important message of the prophets is the promise of the Messiah. Bible scholars have found as many as 300 Old Testament prophecies pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah. Let's look at an overview of Isaiah at a glance. The author was Isaiah. The audience, Judah. The date, 740 through 680 BC. The themes, the remnant, God, the Holy One of Israel, and the coming of the Messiah. The purposes were to warn Judah of coming judgment and to promise Judah's coming salvation. The gospel in Isaiah shows the Messiah will be born of a virgin. He will minister to the Gentiles. He will die to redeem sinners. Through the Messiah, God's kingdom will be open to people of all nations. Historical setting of Isaiah. Isaiah, the son of Amoz, ministered in the royal court of Judah during the late 8th century BC. Isaiah's name means "the Lord has saved," a name that foreshadows a central theme of Isaiah's ministry, salvation for God's people. Isaiah's call to prophetic ministry came in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6:1, approximately 740 BC. He recorded the death of Sennacherib in 681 BC, Isaiah 37:38. This dates the book of Isaiah to approximately 740 through 680 BC. Isaiah ministered during the reigns of four kings of Judah: Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. Jewish tradition says that Manasseh killed Isaiah by having him sawn in half. During the early years of Isaiah's ministry, Tiglath-Pileser III expanded the Assyrian Empire. Pekah, the king of the northern kingdom, attacked Judah because Ahaz refused to join an alliance against Assyria, Isaiah 7:1 and 2 Kings 16:5. Refusing to heed Isaiah's objections, Ahaz appealed to Assyria, Isaiah 7, 3-9, and 2 Kings 16, 7-9. Isaiah's message gave a sign for the immediate future and a prophecy of the birth of the Messiah, Isaiah 7, 10-17. Note, Isaiah 7, 10-17 shows how a prophet's message spoke both to his contemporaries and to the future. In 735 BC, Isaiah told Ahaz that before a son born in that day reached the age of choice, Syria and Ephraim, the northern kingdom, would be destroyed. A partial fulfillment was accomplished with the fall of Syria in 732 BC and the fall of the northern kingdom in 722 BC. The final fulfillment of Emmanuel, born to a virgin, was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus the Messiah, Matthew 1, 20-23. After the death of Ahaz, his son Hezekiah rebelled against Assyria, 2 Kings 18:1 and 7, and entered an alliance with Egypt, Isaiah 30, 1-2. In response, the Assyrian ruler Sennacherib attacked Judah in 701 BC. Hezekiah was first defeated and forced to pay tribute to Assyria, 2 Kings 18, 14-16. Later, Hezekiah rebelled against Sennacherib. This time, Sennacherib sent messengers to threaten the city. Hezekiah took the letter and laid it in front of the Lord in the temple. He asked God to rescue Judah. "So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone," 2 Kings 19:19. In response to Hezekiah's prayer, the angel of God attacked the Assyrian army, killing 185,000 men, and driving the Assyrians out of Judah, 2 Kings 19 and Isaiah 37. The rest of Hezekiah's reign was a time of peace. Purpose of Isaiah. With the fall of the northern kingdom, Judah faced a test. Would she follow Israel in apostasy, or would she be faithful to God? Isaiah warned of judgment for Judah's sin. He encouraged Judah with a promise of salvation if she returned to the covenant. Overview of Isaiah. Isaiah is sometimes seen as a Bible in miniature. The first 39 chapters, corresponding to the 39 books of the Old Testament, shows God's justice in judging Judah and the surrounding nations. Because God is a holy God, he cannot overlook sin. The last 27 chapters, corresponding to the 27 books of the New Testament, comfort Judah with the promise of a coming Messiah. A book that covers 60 years, four kings, two great empires, Assyria and Babylon, and that prophesies events hundreds of years in the future is difficult to summarize in a few paragraphs. As you read Isaiah, this outline will guide you through the book. The summary of themes will suggest important ideas to follow. Outline of Isaiah. Number 1, prophecies of judgment, Isaiah 1-35. An emphasis on judgment, addressed primarily to the rebellious people of Isaiah's time. warns that Assyria will defeat the northern kingdom of Israel. Messages of judgment on many nations, including Israel, Assyria, Babylon, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Cush, Egypt, Edom, Judah, and Tyre. Salvation for the faithful, Isaiah 35. Number 2, historical interlude, Isaiah 36 through 39. Sennacherib's threat and God's deliverance, Isaiah 36 through 37. The story of Sennacherib finishes the Assyrian emphasis of Isaiah 1 through 35. It takes place in 701 BC and shows that faith in God brings God's blessing. Hezekiah's illness and miraculous recovery, Isaiah 38. Hezekiah's foolish visit with Merodach-Baladan from Babylon, Isaiah 39. The story of Merodach-Baladan's visit in 711 BC begins the Babylonian emphasis of Isaiah 40 through 66. Judah's sins will lead to the Babylonian exile. Note, Isaiah 38:6 shows that the events of Isaiah 38 through 39 took place before Isaiah 36 through 37. The order in the book is probably intended to emphasize the topical structure of Isaiah. Isaiah 36 through 37 ends the Assyrian emphasis. Isaiah 38 through 39 begins the Babylonian emphasis. Non-chronological structure is common in the prophetic books. Number 3, Messianic prophecies of comfort, Isaiah 40 through 66. An emphasis on restoration and promise. Addressed to faithful people of all generations. Comfort and deliverance for Judah, Isaiah 40 through 48. A coming servant will provide redemption, Isaiah 49 through 55. God will restore all who are faithful to the covenant, Isaiah 56 through 66. Important themes in Isaiah. The remnant. God will preserve a remnant, those who are faithful to God in spite of the apostasy of the nation as a whole, Isaiah 1:9. Isaiah named one of his sons Shear-Jashub, the remnant shall return, as a prophetic message that God will bring the faithful remnant back to Jerusalem after the exile, Isaiah 7:3 and Isaiah 10:20-21. God, the Holy One of Israel. Early in his prophetic ministry, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, Isaiah 6:1. God was surrounded by seraphim, calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory," Isaiah 6:3. This vision transformed Isaiah's life and ministry. Over 20 times, Isaiah referred to the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, a name that shows God's holiness and sovereignty. An important aspect of Isaiah's message is that Israel faces judgment because they have ignored the holiness of God they profess to worship. The sovereignty of the Holy One of Israel is seen in his judgment on the enemies of Israel. God commanded Isaiah to name one of his sons, Meir Shalal Hashbaz, a name that represented speedy judgment against Judah's enemies, Isaiah 8:1-3. To the surprise of Judah, God's sovereignty is also seen in his judgment on Judah because of her apostasy. Ultimately, the Holy One of Israel will restore his people. Isaiah foresaw a day when God's people would no longer be called forsaken, but would be called "My delight is in her." He foresaw a day when the land would no longer be called desolate, but would be called married, Isaiah 62:4. Instead of an apostate nation, Judah will be called the holy people. Instead of exiles, they will be the redeemed of the Lord. Instead of being rejected, they will be sought out. Instead of being abandoned, Jerusalem will be called a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:12. The coming of the Messiah. Because of its emphasis on the coming Messiah, Isaiah has sometimes been called the fifth gospel. Isaiah prophesies that the Messiah will redeem Judah and all who turn to him in faith. In his first sermon at Nazareth, Jesus read from Isaiah and proclaimed that he had come to fulfill the promises made by the prophet, Luke 4:16-30, Isaiah 61:1-2, and Isaiah 58:6. In the last section of Isaiah, the prophet foretells the coming of the Messiah, God's anointed one. He will be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He will serve the needy, Isaiah 61:1-3. He will suffer to redeem humankind, Isaiah 52:13-53:12. He will someday reign in glory, Isaiah 60:66. Because of the Messiah, the future of God's people is bright, regardless of their present circumstances. A closer look at the authorship of Isaiah. Some biblical critics argue that this book was not written by Isaiah alone. They say that Isaiah 1-39 came from Isaiah himself, while chapters 40-66 were written by a second author who lived more than 100 years after Isaiah. They call these authors Isaiah of Jerusalem and Second Isaiah. These critics doubt the testimony of the New Testament to Isaiah as the author. Evangelicals believe that God spoke the entire book of Isaiah to his prophet. This chart shows the argument of critical scholars and an evangelical response. Authorship of Isaiah. The first issue is that Isaiah ministered from 740-680 BC. He refers to the return from exile, which began in 538 BC. He mentions Cyrus by name in Isaiah 44:28 and Isaiah 45:1. Critics believe, since Cyrus lived 100 years after Isaiah's death, the prophet could not predict a future ruler. Evangelicals believe God revealed the future to Isaiah, including the name of Cyrus, the future ruler of Persia. The second issue is that Isaiah 1-39 is primarily about Assyria and judgment. Isaiah 40-66 is primarily about Babylon and salvation. Critics believe an author would not have such a drastic contrast in his writing. Isaiah 40-66 must be by a different author. Evangelicals believe Isaiah spoke to both his immediate listeners, judgment for sin, and future readers, restoration for the faithful. This is the reason for the great contrast. The third issue is that some language used in Isaiah 40-66, especially the language of comfort, is not used in Isaiah 1-39. Critics believe a difference of language suggests a different author. Evangelicals believe the different topics of 1-39 and 40-66 require different language. However, terms like the Holy One of Israel are used in both parts of the book. Reasons to accept Isaiah as the author of the entire book. Number 1, Isaiah 1:1 names Isaiah, son of Amoz, as the author. Number 2, all early Hebrew copies of Isaiah show the book as one book. There is no evidence that Isaiah 1-39 and 40-66 were ever treated as two separate books. Number 3, the New Testament writers refer to Isaiah as the author of the entire book. The New Testament includes a total of 20 references to the two sections of Isaiah. John 12:38-41 is a particularly important example because John quotes from Isaiah 6:10 and Isaiah 53:1 in consecutive verses, attributing both verses to Isaiah. Other examples include Matthew 3:3, Acts 8:28-33, and Romans 9:27-29. Isaiah continued. Isaiah in the New Testament. Isaiah is one of the Old Testament books most frequently quoted in the New Testament. Let's look at a chart showing the examples of Isaiah's prophecies and their stated fulfillments in the New Testament. Isaiah's prophecy, a voice crying, preparing the way for the Lord, Isaiah 40:3. New Testament fulfillment, John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord, Matthew 3:3. Isaiah's prophecy, a virgin will conceive and bear a son named Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. New Testament fulfillment, Jesus, Emmanuel, was born of a virgin, Matthew 1:20-25. In Isaiah's prophecy, the people see and hear but do not understand, Isaiah 6:9-10. In the New Testament fulfillment, Jesus used parables because of the people's lack of understanding, Matthew 13:13-15. In Isaiah's prophecy, the Gentiles will receive the gospel, Isaiah 9:1-2, and Isaiah 61:1-3. In the New Testament fulfillment, Jesus ministered to the Gentiles, Matthew 4:13-16, and Luke 4:14-21. In Isaiah's prophecy, the nations will find God, Isaiah 11:10, and Isaiah 65:1. In the New Testament fulfillment, the nations who are not seeking God find Him and praise Him with His people, Romans 10:20 and Romans 15:12. Throughout Jesus' ministry, the gospel writers saw Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. God's promises to restore and redeem His people were partially fulfilled in the return from Babylon. The promises were more completely fulfilled in the redeeming work of Jesus of Nazareth. The ultimate and final fulfillment will be seen when God's family is reunited in worship around the throne of God. Isaiah speaks today. Isaiah's message was relevant both to Judah in his day and to us in ours. To a nation that faced the choice of following Israel into apostasy or remaining faithful to God, Isaiah spoke of the judgment that comes to those who are unfaithful to God. He warned both Judah and other nations that the Holy One of Israel could not ignore sin. In today's permissive culture, we must remember that God judges sin. To a nation that would soon face Babylonian exile, Isaiah spoke of God's blessing on the remnant that remains faithful to God. In the face of today's threats to followers of Christ, we must remember that God honors those who remain faithful to Him. He promises to hear and restore those who repent. Isaiah speaks powerfully to the needs of the 21st century.